you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you. We're glad you're here.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's Monday, October 16th, 2017. For the next 5 weeks, we're going to have Reformation Monday and Tuesdays, as my Wednesday and Friday co-host, Pastor Jason Schiffo, will be preaching through this series at his church, the Community Evangelical Free Church of Mahomet. And yesterday, he began the five-part series, In Christ Alone, Solus Christus. What is the Reformation? The Protestant Reformation was the 16th century religious, political, intellectual, and cultural upheaval that splintered Catholic Europe, setting in place the structures and beliefs that would define the continent in the modern era. Well, I can't think of a better song to set up this message, the one written and sung by Keith and Kristen Getty. Here's In Christ Alone.
In Christ Alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are still, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. In Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless babe, this gift of love and righteousness.
Now
Here in the power of Christ I stand. What a great song as it sets up today's message as preached yesterday by Pastor Jason Schiffo at the Community Evangelical Free Church in Mahomet. His first topic in a five-part series that will be airing on Monday and Tuesdays in the coming weeks is In Christ Alone, Solus Christus. Here's Pastor Jason Schiffo opening our time with a reading out of Romans chapter 3 as we learn how our salvation is in Christ alone.
Romans chapter 3, verses 21 through 26. But now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God and are justified by His grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by His blood, to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness, because in His divine forbearance He passed over former sins. It was to show His righteousness at the present time, so that He might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Father, we thank You for Your Son Jesus, for whom we just sang, In Christ Alone. Father, He is the center of our faith. He is the center of all that we believe and all that we stand upon. Father, we pray that in our lives, Christ would be magnified, not just as an act of worship, but as a witness to our confidence, that we believe without a doubt that all that we have and all that we are and all that we stand upon is in His name alone. And Father, we thank You for that. And we praise You in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, Amen. You can be seated, please. Today we start our first week talking about the Reformation. We're taking a break from the Exodus, which we have been doing. We won't pick the Exodus up until January, right at the end of the plagues and moving on forward from there. And we're going to spend the next 5 weeks talking about the 5 points of the Reformation. From there, we will go into Advent and to Christmas. That's coming so quick. Has anybody been to Hobby Lobby lately? It's like nuts over there. They've got one aisle that's Valentine's even already. It's getting crazy. But we're going to talk about the Reformation. Now, some people would come and they would say, What is the Reformation? The Reformation was a reclaiming of the faith because it had begun to be co-opted by men. Reformation, in its 5 points that we'll study over the next 5 weeks, is today Christ alone, solo Christus. Next week, solo scriptura, which means Scripture alone. Sola gratia, which means grace alone. Sola fide, faith alone. And sola de gloria, which means for the glory of God alone. These are the 5 points. These were the 5 hinge pins of the Reformation. Now, some of you would say, why the Reformation? Why should we study the Reformation? For number one, it is the 500th year of the Reformation. 500 years ago, on August 30th, Martin Luther nailed his 95 theses. We have a copy of them. Not the original. We tried, but really hard to come by. Out in the foyer so you can look and read the 95 theses. He nailed those to Wittenberg Door. Now, when it says that he nailed those to Wittenberg Door, let's not over-dramatize that. Wittenberg Door was actually more like a community bulletin board. And so there were all kinds of bulletin things on there pertaining to the community. And Martin Luther wanted to begin a dialogue because he believed that the church had lost its way and needed to come back to center, needed to come back to these basic tenets, in grace alone, by faith alone, for glory of God alone, through Christ alone, by the Scripture, Scripture being our main means, our main lens for understanding all of these things. And I believe the reason you study the Reformation today, the reason we're going to take these 5 weeks to do this, is because I think that we're in the same place, in some ways, as they were back in Luther's day, where we constantly want to take our eyes off of the Scripture and off of God and off of His glory and off of all of that and put it on men. And listen to me, because over the next few weeks, we'll talk about some of the names that pertain to the Reformation. In your bulletin, if you see, every week we'll have on the back side a little bio from one of the reformers, one of the people who were key in the Reformation. By the way, ladies, there are a few women too. So you'll see those women's names come up too. Because behind every good man, there is a great woman. I believe that with all my heart because I have one. But you'll hear names used like Luther and Calvin and Knox and Latimer and Huss. You'll hear all these names. But this is what I also want you to know. That when you hear the name Luther, we have to understand that at the end of his life, he wrote some things that were pretty heinous and horrible towards the Jewish people. We'll talk about John Calvin. And John Calvin, as amazing as he is in writing the Calvin's Institutes, which gave us a really good understanding of some things about our faith, he was also complicit in the death of a man. If we look at all the reformers, they had issues and problems. And the reason that that is important is because the best of men are still men at best. All men, myself and Pastor Jake, and any man who you seem to esteem or woman who you seem to esteem, all have clay feet. And so when I study the Reformation, when I look at the Reformation, this is what I think. God can use broken people to do amazing things. God can use broken and people who lose their way to help to bring the gaze of men back to Christ. That's what I think that my job is in some part here, is to help bring that gaze back. So when we talk about the Reformation over the next number of weeks, I don't want you to hear, oh, Martin Luther's so awesome. Martin Luther's not awesome, God is. And Martin Luther's a man whom God used in awesome ways. And praise God for that. And listen, maybe that should be the gateway for all of us to go, God can use me in awesome ways too. What ways will He do that? Maybe throughout, if anything, throughout this Reformation study, as you center yourself back on Scripture and on Christ and on your faith alone, in grace alone, for the glory of God alone, maybe in that you'll begin to pray, God, use me in awesome ways to be part of a Reformation. Maybe it's a Reformation in your neighborhood. Maybe it's a Reformation in your community. I don't know what it is. But I just want to be careful when we talk about these things to think that they mean esteeming men. Because that is what our human hearts tend to do. So we opened up this time by singing In Christ Alone. And we did that very intentionally. I want you to know that a few years ago, I think it was like 3 or 4 years ago, that hymn that we sang made the headlines. And it didn't make the headlines necessarily in a good way. It made the headlines because of the lyrical reference that we sang in it that said, "The wrath of God was satisfied." That particularly talks about the atonement that was made by Jesus Christ. You see, the Presbyterian Church of the United States wanted to use In Christ Alone in their hymnal, the new hymnal that they were printing called The Glory to God that was supposed to be released in the fall. And the hymn committee of the Presbyterian Church contacted Keith and Kirsten Getty, and they said to them, "We want to use this hymn in there, but we would like to change the lyric, The wrath of God was satisfied too, the love of God was magnified." How do you think that turned out? The songwriters, they rejected that change. And as a result, if you are to pick up one of those hymnals, you will find that In Christ Alone is not in the hymnal. Because they rejected then putting it in there. They said this in their statement that they released. "The song has been removed from our contents list with deep regret over losing its otherwise poignant and powerful witness." The committee chair, Mary Louis Bringle, told the Christian Century, "The view that the cross is primarily about God's need to assuage God's anger is wrong in our view, and we believe it would have a negative effect on the hymnal's ability to form faith in the generations to come." So this woman said that if we talk about the fact that Jesus Christ actually had to pay the price for our sinfulness and for our sacrifice, if He actually had to do that on the cross, that would somehow negatively affect the faith of generations to come. Essentially saying that, yeah, maybe it's in Christ alone, but you know what? I mean, that's a little harsh. But I guess I would say this to you. Is it harsh for us, or was it harsh for Jesus as he laid on that cross? Sometimes our human comfort needs to be tempered, humbled, in light of Christ's sacrifice and His suffering. See, if we were to do as the hymnal author suggested, than to him would and could not in good conscience be called in Christ alone. It would no longer retain its title. And so as we begin to start this series on the five solas, if you look at sometimes in places where they break down the five solas, in Christ alone comes a little bit later. But I wanted to start intentionally with it first, because I think there's no better place to begin than the person and work of Jesus Christ. There is no better place, the foundation of our faith, to be able to understand all of that than in Christ alone. And then to do it on Communion Sunday. Where as a family, we make a declaration, a confession that we believe in Christ alone we are saved, and therefore we take communion together. We physically show our belief by taking the cup and taking the bread together. You know, there's a phrase that's often used in Christian circles. Maybe you've used it. It says, preach the gospel to yourself every day. Anybody ever hear that one? Preach the gospel to yourself every day. Wrongly, though, as I've talked to people, they've said to me that they believe that that means somehow every day they're receiving some measure of salvation. But preaching the gospel to yourself every day is more about needing to be reminded and to see your Savior every day. To see that there is something good and right and wonderful about proclaiming the good news to yourself so that you can see how central it is. Listen, if you want to preach the good news outside of yourself, you have to first begin to preach it to yourself. If you want people to see that in Christ alone their hope is found, you must first begin to preach in Christ alone to yourself. By the way, all your friends and neighbors, they can smell a rat a mile away. So if you don't believe it yourself, if you don't live upon it yourself, they already know it. So we have to start today with ourselves. And that's where I want to do today with this first sola, in Christ alone. That's the purpose of this message. That all of our future hope, that all that we have, that all that we are, is in Christ alone. It's in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And in Christ alone, no other place will your hope be found. This past year, I have been reading and rereading and rereading and rereading the book of Romans. And the book of Romans has just been blowing me away by what an amazing picture of salvation the book of Romans gives continually. This amazing picture of who Jesus is and what God has done and what our condition is and what we need and how, even though we're so undeserving, God still came in and did what needed to be done. And so today I want us to look at Romans chapter 3, verses 21 through 27, as we already read, to look and to see and to read about our salvation. To read. And so that we will have total assurance that in Christ alone our hope is found. So turn over to Romans chapter 3. So it says, but the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, although the law and prophets bear witness to it. The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. This slide should also include, there is no distinction. I love that little piece that God puts in there. There is no distinction, meaning there is no difference. Doesn't mean if you're rich, doesn't mean you're poor, doesn't mean you're better. There is nobody who is greater, bigger, or better in the kingdom of God. There is no difference. There is no distinction. And this righteousness that the verse talks about, the righteousness of God manifested apart from the law, is the righteousness of God given freely to us. Apart from the law simply means that the law can't save us. This book can't save you. But when you read this book, your sin begins to well to the surface and you begin to cry out to Christ who can save you. That's the whole basis of Romans chapter 7 when the Apostle Paul says, I try to do the things I know I ought to do, but I can't seem to do the things I really need to do. How many of you can amen that one? And then what does he say? Wretched man am I, who can save me from this body of death? Thanks be to my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. See, the law can't save us, but the law and the prophets testify to the one who can. The Bible continually sings the chorus of in Christ alone. It continually points us to God's Son who does all the work. See, the problem we have as human beings, I think, is this, is that somehow we think that we can buy it or we can attain it or we can do something beyond just believing. And yet the Bible says you can't buy it and you can't attain it apart from believing by faith. Nothing. None of what Christ offers you comes by your own merit. And it's so opposite to the way we believe, isn't it? There's nothing that you and I can do that we can that Jesus will go like, wow, he's like so awesome. We should totally save him. Jesus isn't like there going like, wow, I've never seen somebody like this. This is so amazing. We should totally save him, sanctify him, justify him, do some amazing things in their life. See, you're not awesome, God is. You're not awesome, Jesus is. And if we could get that through our head, we would begin to see Christ more and more and more. But the problem is you are battling. Just think how silly this is. You are battling with God. And you actually think in some ways you can win. Or at least you can somehow woo him to believe that you're a winner. Actually, Romans 3:23 will address that in a minute. We become winners in Christ. We become awesome in Christ alone. And so Paul states to us in Romans chapter 1, verses 16 and 17, Paul tells us that the righteousness of God has been revealed, that it's been made known to us. It's sort of like, I equate it to Christmas morning. You know, and the kids, you know, like God's children are bounding down the stairs and underneath the tree, even though they have been horrible all year long. These are like the coldest of cold deserving kids. And these kids do not deserve a darn thing. And when they bound down the stairs, God's children on Christmas morning, what is waiting for them? The greatest of gifts, full stockings. And what I think what God really hopes is that there'll be a moment where those kids stop and go, I don't deserve this. I don't deserve any of this. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Sadly, though, I think what happens is God's children bound down the stairs and they go, I asked for the other Lego set. And I think that that's what happens. Sadly, that's what happens to us. See, if we would understand that we don't deserve any of it, none of it at all. And see, that was part of the problem that drove the Reformation, is there was a religious system in place that began to say things like, what gift is yours? It appears you haven't been quite good enough this year. Maybe if you just do a few more good things, you might be able to get that gift you want, but I'm not sure. And see, the problem is that if we read Scripture, Scripture tells us all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Every single one of those kids on Christmas morning who bounds down the stairs doesn't deserve any of those gifts that are beneath the tree, and yet every single one of those gifts that are beneath the tree are exactly what they need. They might not have known they needed it, but it is exactly what they need. But every single one of those kids, every single one of you who bounds down the stairs on that morning are fit right in here. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Let's just have a moment of honesty. I'll step away from over here and I'll come right here. Let's have a moment of honesty. How many of us that's hard to read? It should be. Because it should be humbling. It should be humbling to realize that I fall short, because there are days when I don't feel like I fall short. There are days when I feel pretty darn awesome. And yet only always is this God's declaration of us. Let me put it in these terms. Imagine.
Well, this message is delivered yesterday by Pastor Jason Schiffo at the Community Evangelical Free Church in Mahomet. We'll continue tomorrow on the Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends as he explains those terms with an illustration. Yesterday's message was the first in a 5-part series on the Reformation. And so for the next 4 Monday and Tuesdays, Pastor Jason will break down the importance of living today with that Reformation mindset in our hearts and minds. Tune in again at this time tomorrow on the Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends. And these programs will be archived at greatnewsradio.org under our archived programs page. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you and have a great day and night.